and shine, Atlanta. We are live from SEC Media Days, and I'm just made Abe Gordon's ears hurt. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. She is the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, which is an appropriate time for that, Miss Allie Mack. And then Abe Gordon, who I would like to call the most interesting man in at 92.9 The Game, but then again, he's also at the same time the most boring man at 92.9 The Game. A runner of marathons, Mr. Abe Gordon, joins us in place of the All-Americans. Big shoes to fill, literally big shoes to fill. A guy has walked sideways downstairs. I've seen it. And we sprinkle in the most vanilla man in Atlanta radio and the worst waiver, Mr. Dylon Matthews. Good morning, everyone. The morning shift is live from the 2025 SEC Media Days.
This is it. To me, this is the start of football season. I know we look at the NFL, and it kind of kicks off with training camp. And for me, and growing up loving college football the way that I did, this is kind of it. And it's developed. Media Days in general have developed into a thing it didn't used to be. I mean, you're going to have hundreds of media members from a bunch of different southeastern towns, cities, I mean, all sorts of sizes and shapes. Covering 16 different squads, and I'm excited to kick it off. It just means that, like, we're getting close.
Well,
we're getting there.
I want to give us an A for effort this morning because we are here. We are some of the only ones here right now live at SEC Media Days, and our setup, we are literally, we have our backs to the stage right now where everything, all the announcements, all the presentations are going to be happening. So I'm so excited to be a part of this. Today we have a really stacked show, as always, and a little bit we're going to be covering the Braves and Cardinals series that was had a couple rain delays in that, but yeah, right now we're going to get into some SEC stuff. So Commissioner Greg Sankey, he is set to take the podium in just a couple hours, 9 a.m. to kick off SEC Media Days. Bo, is there anything in particular you are looking for Sankey to address?
I take everything that these guys say with a grain of salt when they're commissioners. I'm sure he'll be asked about the playoff system and where it could go. You know, with he's been a proponent of getting what, like, four automatic bids for the SEC, and he's in lock and step with the Big Ten commissioner on they want four as well. We heard the Big 12 commissioner just last week talk about he's for a 5-11 system, I believe. So just, you know, 11 at larges and highest five rated conference champions. I'm interested in the new NIL with kicked in on July 1st with the ruling finally coming down. So I think those are the things that are most. And then, you know, will he talk? And I'm sure he'll be asked, but what will he say about conference championship game, Abe? You know, that's one of the deals that a lot of people think is going away. I don't think so, but he has proposed it to go away to the extent where it's more of a play-in game for, like, that final spot. So he's came up with a lot of ideas that I think are not very good. So probably just to address all of those things that I mentioned.
There's a lot of things I think he's going to get into. And one of the more interesting developments over the last month or so is it actually feels like the SEC and Big Ten are splitting away from being aligned on the 4-4-2-2-1. And the SEC might now be adjusting more in line to what the Big 12 has suggested, where you have the 5 and then the 11 at-larges. And it's going to be interesting to see, because the SEC and the Big 10 are kind of pushing this thing further. And they've been together for so long, aligned. And I just think they're breaking up a little bit, a slight divorce, if you want to call it that. And I just ultimately think, and I've lived in Big 10 country, I've covered the Big 10, I just ultimately think that they don't understand the power they do or don't have. I just think as the SEC makes decisions, more programs are going to fall in line with what the SEC decides to do. I also want to know what's going on with the SEC scheduling. Are we at 8 games? Are we at 9 games like everyone else? And I think that will ultimately impact, as you mentioned, Bo, the conference championship game, play-in games, and the overall playoff format.
Yeah, I just do not care about that as much as other people. I do not care about if it's an 8-game or a 9-game. I'm okay with one at least, you know, whatever game, because I understand what it does for the smaller programs, and I think it also gives these guys – we're asking these guys to play more games than ever. I understand they're getting paid, but not all of them are getting paid life-changing money to the extent that some are. And I'm not a fan of telling these guys they got to play all these more games and not basically give them a week off, because that's what it is. And they're not professionals. You're asking them to play almost into February now, right? Some of these guys. So that's not, and plus, I think it also gives you out of conference matchups, which these teams are going to. And I'd rather see that than, you know, see Georgia get to make sure that they play Vanderbilt every year with the new format moving forward.
Well, there's a couple things. It could cost you some of these rivalries you've gotten used to, right? North Carolina versus South Carolina. If they have to play an extra SEC game, there's stuff involved there. But it's also going to be fascinating to see what the strength of schedule metric means for college football eligibility and the playoff committee and their decision-making. If you add an extra SEC game, more likely that's going to continually bump up your strength of schedule. How much does that ultimately matter when you're rounding out the field? Because I think in most of these teams, you're either going to know they're in or out. You're talking about the last two or three spots where you're trying to compare either ugly wins, bad losses, that sort of thing, where it will come into play. I don't think we need to jump up to nine games, because I'm with you. I like having these season kickoff games, which might go away. You might not have Georgia Clemson or Florida State versus Tennessee or those that like if you have to play another SEC game.
The misnomer is that they're going to get rid of these other games. Appalachian State you can't really use anymore, but you know, Northeast Louisiana is never going to play again LSU. That's not the case, because they are. They're going to figure it out, because you got to remember where all these ADs and everybody come. All these people know each other, and they know how their programs were funded when they were at smaller schools, right? I mean, and you're probably. It feels like you're inching more and more away from some of these bowls. So I just think we've got to remember about the health of the game all the way through. It's not just the top teams.
Well, and as we get updates from SEC Media Days, we're going to be giving them to you today. LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt are the presenting teams. So again, like I said, we'll keep you updated on everything. Now, there is such a buzz in the air in Atlanta in general. We've been talking about how crazy this week has been or is going to be for Atlanta. We have so many events. Tonight is the Home Run Derby. I know we were live at Murph's all weekend with 92.9 The Game. You could feel the energy with the All-Star Village right next door. And tonight, Matt Olson will be taking the place of Ronald Acuna Jr. in the Home Run Derby. The whole roster is Matt Olson, Cal Raleigh, the big dumper that everyone's talking about, O'Neill Cruz, James Wood, Brent Rooker, Byron Buxton, Jazz Chisholm, and Junior Caminero. How do you guys feel about Matt's chances tonight? I just feel like it's written in the stars for him since he was there in 2000 as a kid.
I wish it was written in the stars. I wish it would work out. I tend to believe that the clear favorite is the big dumper. And then I actually, for me, and Abe might just like try to jump at the table with me, but I think Jazz Chisholm is my dark horse. I think that guy can really, really just yank him when he gets going. And this is one of those things where you're like, you're going to, in 2 or 3 years, you're going to randomly be at an All-Star Game Fan Fest, and you're going to have the little site where they have the chain and everything. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot Jazz Chisholm just ran into a Home Run Derby title, you know?
I like a couple of guys here. Obviously, Cal Raleigh makes sense. I'll get to Matt Olson in a moment. I'm fascinated by O'Neill Cruz. That guy just hits the ball harder than anyone else. His problem's going to be launch angle. He's got to get that ball elevated. He's just such a line drive hitter. I think James Wood of the Nationals, easy power. And I think that translates well into a Home Run Derby. And then my total wild card that I have no idea what we're going to get is from the Ray slugger, Junior Caminero. I think that guy can also just walk his way into like 30 bombs in a round. The thing for Matt Olson is it's actually a better ballpark for lefties than it is for righty. It's 10 feet shorter down the line. Yeah. It's 10 feet shorter to right center. He's got easy power as well. The question for me, and I hate the format. I wish we had just gone back to the 10 outs. Like I'm the old man yelling at the clouds like back in my day. But I liked it when it was just 10 outs. And if you didn't put one over the fence, it counts as an out, and 10 of those and your round's done. Olson has a long swing. I don't know how quickly he can recharge. And so I just don't know if he's going to be getting, purely from a numerical standpoint, as many swings as some of the righties.
Yeah, he is. But also his seams, when he's locked in, it feels very smooth, very effortless. So I don't.
Easy power. Yeah, he's got it too.
So to that point, I also don't see him getting, you know, winded. And he's he's somewhat good shape. He's not like, you know, some of these bigger first basemen we've seen in the past.
No, look, the frustrating thing is with Ronald Acuña Jr., I was like, this guy's probably going to win the Derby at home. We've seen him perform well at the Home Run Derby. Obviously, he's come back into this season from the early injuries, and it's just knocking the cover off the ball. Certainly understand why they decided to pull him. He is still going to start in the All-Star game, which is good to see. But he was going to win this thing. Like, I feel pretty strongly that Acuña was going to win this. I think Olson will have a chance, but I'm not going to go out and pound the sand the way I would have for Acuña.
Well, I think that's easy, though. I understand that. I think that's probably the reason why I wish Matt Olson would win this more than anybody is. Mm-hmm. I just get so sick of how – and I'm not saying you're –
Prove the doubters wrong.
You're not doing that. No, it's not even prove the doubters. It's like – the guy gets a constant crap taken on him by everybody in the city, and this is a hometown kid, and it just drives me nuts. It drives me nuts because he's so underappreciated, and everything. I guarantee you there was somebody out there tweeting because Matt Olson comes up with a couple of guys, I think it was in the eighth inning, and he grounds out. Somebody's like, yep, the typical Olson. Don't mind the fact that the dude had three freaking RBIs. He was literally the only guy that could get a hit yesterday with runners on base. But no. Let's talk about the one time he didn't. When the guy coming up behind him, who is Ronald Acuña Jr., went 0-for-5 and get him the hell out of the third spot, by the way.
Ding. Yeah, I know. I wish he could change some of the doubters today. We'll see what happens at the Home Run Derby. But coming up, we've got a lot to unpack as the show goes on. I know I had a great time at the All-Star Village over the weekend, ran the Hank Aaron 4.4 miler. So a lot going on with All-Star Week. And Braves had a pretty lengthy game yesterday. We will get into that next with the morning shift. We are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame with Bo. Abe Gordon is in for Mike today. Myself, Allie Mack, and Dylan is back at the home station. We're going to get into the Braves conversation in a moment. I kind of want to set the scene of where we are down here at SEC Media Days. Everybody is getting set up. Of course, we were here bright and early, courtesy of the Morgan Express. Bo, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. The Baron Burton's W Sauce, Owl Inn Lager, New Orchard, Z71 was rolling this morning. I mean, I had Allie running Shotgun Navigator, and then Abe was making sure that we could catch up with Slim to get down here. So everybody had a job. Mine was just to drive as efficiently as possible because Abe is a very efficient human being, and he whines when he doesn't see efficiency. So I had to be on point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that. There's definitely me. My patience is regularly tested.
No, your patience is regularly thin.
Well, deservedly so.
What I appreciate, though, is I feel like we're all very like-minded and we hate to be late. So everybody was early today. Like, the meeting time was 5 a.m. Abe arrived at what?
4:46.
There you go. And then, Bo, you showed up at 4:51.
That's
and
right.
I was ready at 4:30.
Yeah.
So all of us were just so excited to get down here today.
The funny thing was, is I pulled in, and first thing I saw was Allie immediately pop up. She's sitting on her front step and she of this gigantic house that she lives in, and she pops up. And then I pull in, and I was like, because I turned my brights on down your street because I wanted to read your mailbox. And
I did the same.
And I pull in, and I see this car tucked away in the very back of this very long driveway of this gigantic house. And I see, like, eyeballs looking back at me. And I was like, that's not a cat. That's Abe.
An owl in the middle of the night peering from the darkness.
But I got a confession. Two things. First off, if you don't Google what – if you don't know what it is, hitting the post, I just watched Allie wait to hit the post as we came in, and I was like, oh, that's right, FM, DJ.
When I think of hitting the post, I thought that's what you were trying to do when you backed your car into the garage this morning.
No.
Allie was worried. Allie was worried.
I was.
She was gripping. She's like, stop, please stop.
No, the funny thing is, I get as close. These trucks stick out in these parking decks,
they
right?
Do.
So you got to get it as close as you
can. You got to push it in there, yeah.
It's funny because I use the side mirrors to back into spots,
yep.
And then anything like that, I use the camera. I woke up at 1:15 this morning.
Goodness gracious, Bo, what is happening?
I don't know. I went to bed at like 9 something. I was at 1:15, And then an hour later, the baby – it was actually perfect because then the baby's up. So I'm already right awake. So I'm, like, operating to the Abe Gordon efficiency level.
High capacity, baby.
And
let's go.
I just found out the reason, but Amy just texted me. Amy put these larger nipples on the bottles.
Okay.
And so they go faster. So I'm sitting here, like, normally it takes, like, 25 minutes to feed this baby. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be forever. Literally, it was done in, like, 12 to 15 minutes. And I'm like, man, I'm just – I actually thought I was, like, doing life well. Now I realize that it was technology that was doing it for me.
Baby pork chop is efficient with time as well.
That's right. Well, that 2 a.m., Allie.
Well, getting into the Braves series over the weekend, yesterday they did lose 5-4 against the Cardinals, so they took 2 of 3 in the series. They had 2 delays during the game yesterday. And now, just before the second delay, Braves were in the lead. Did you guys feel like they were going to win it after they pulled back and got ahead of the Cardinals yesterday?
I was just desperate that they would find a way to get just finish out your top half and get to the bottom half and hopefully roll through it before the next delay happened. I was hoping you could just get there 3-1 because you had just taken the lead in the top of the fifth. I was like, finish this inning, get through the next bottom half, mm-hmm. and just can the game at 5 innings. But Jesse Chavez, that didn't happen.
I know.
That didn't happen. So,
yeah, I was frustrated. I actually was largely frustrated with the end of that game. Michael Harris comes up with 2 on and 2 out.
Yep.
In the bottom of the 8th. Mm-hmm. And Michael Harris has been, like, he's basically been a what not to do video in the first half of 2025 at the plate. And he immediately gets down 0-2. And then he took 3 pitches that were all balls, one of which got no, it might have been the next inning when the Cardinals manager gets thrown out, but it was. But one of which was borderline, and it was a good take. And then he takes a 4th ball, which was extremely low
yep.
and framed very well, and they rung him up. And it was that to me summed up the Atlanta Braves season. If you want to talk about injustices, that was
– I've made my thoughts on automatic balls and strikes very clear.
That is the best at-bat I've seen Michael Harris have maybe all season, and he's having a good game. It was 2 for 3 at that point, and he should have been bases loaded with Ozuna coming up, and it wasn't. And that just, if I was Snitker, I would have emptied the dugout. And when I mean empty the dugout, all the bats,
yeah.
all the helmets, all the gloves.
Can you imagine him doing that? That's not him.
I would have been one moment short of that Braves minor league manager that did, like, the belly flop.
Philip Wellman. Wellman.
That was
back
pretty
in the day.
Much yeah. the only thing I wouldn't have done because that was just dumb. But everything would have been out of that dugout.
Yeah, and look, I'm trying to look at this under the whole scope of this series heading into the All-Star break. You came into this series knowing you were going to have 2 bullpen games. Like, the idea that you were going to sweep this wasn't that realistic. And you still found yourself kind of in a battle in that situation. But when you've got Davis Daniels and Jesse Chavez and Aaron Bummer and Joey Wentz, who had a great outing on Saturday, it's just going to be tough to put together back-to-back-to-back-to-back victories in that situation. And so because of that, because of the rotation, because of the offensive struggles, expectations were low. And I guess over the course of this series, they kind of met or surpassed them, like mm-hmm. taking it was the first series win since that sweep of the Mets, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so you are still going into the All-Star break with, I guess, a little bit of an upswing of momentum. It would have been nice to get the sweep, though.
Well, let me ask you, Gabe, because you said your thoughts are known on the automatic ball strike system. So they are going to be experimenting with this at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Are you excited for that?
They're going to be out of challenges by the middle of the second inning. Because if I'm Tariq Skubal and I think I get squeezed, I'm going right to the hat. Give me a challenge on this. I do think there's going to be, like, a very interesting progression of, like, hey, man, I know your gut instinct was you got jobbed on this one, but you can't just challenge it, man. There's no one on. It's the first inning and there's 2 outs. So I am fascinated by that, but I just, especially with the Braves, and obviously that's who we're watching the most of, mm-hmm. I've just seen so many strikes go against the Braves at the plate and vice versa. So many strikes called balls when they're on the mound, and I'm sure other teams feel equally the same, But you've got to get these right. And they've been in some key moments where you're like Bo said, you're going from bases loaded here to the end of the inning. Like, that's not fair with a guy that misses the zone. And so if we have the technology to make it better, it has to be improved.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest issue is when guys are not locating and they get calls. I mean, if you can't hit the strike zone, you don't deserve a borderline call. That wasn't even a borderline call.
I think the night before, in what eventually got Daisbell Hernandez sent down to the minors, he got squeezed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, that's a strike. He should be out of the inning.
He did get squeezed. I agree with you.
He doesn't get out of the inning. He spikes a ball to the next batter because he walked a guy on what should have been a strike. And now he's in the minors, and you luckily still found a way to win that game Saturday. But
we thought we were going to get a chance, and it just didn't work out to talk to Bruce Benedict on Saturday. And I was dying to ask him about how catchers, the defensive catching techniques these days, and how, you know, they seem less likely to drop to their knees and slide as much as they want to backhand everything. And I just miss the days where guys, you know, would take a ball to any part of the body, essentially.
It was rough.
I don't even think
old school catchers were getting the body on that, I agree with you.
I went back and rewatched it. I rewatched the replay of it, and it felt like he kind of stuck for it, and he just missed it, but it was a bad bounce.
Yeah,
I agree.
It kicks pretty hard.
Hey,
what was
it Suoro last night that came in, and I think the eighth, and like struck out the side? I mean, he pitched two innings.
Yeah, he had two innings, three Ks, yeah.
Also, I know, dude, we're just grasping at straws here, but I thought Davis Daniel was pretty good.
I think he got and he had to pitch front and backside of a delay. He came back out there and was okay. You lost the game. Look, it is what it is with Jesse Chavez. Like, it's time to be realistic. He's here because we're desperate for a guy that can come in and eat innings. Anyone going to be surprised if he gets DFA'd today?
Mm.
Well, not today. There's no game. But, like, maybe not. Maybe you keep him around because he can eat innings again.
That was
really
my thought,
week.
Though, that but, it was going to happen.
We've
never
seen
know.
So much movement in the bullpen. You're throwing two bullpen games a week right now. These guys are going to be moved in and out based on whether they have the availability to throw multiple innings.
That's why a guy like Chavez has a job. And you alluded at it. Is if there's a, you know, ideally you don't want to use him in a, what was it, a 3-1 game, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you're going to use him, you're hoping to use him in a 7-1 game, no matter which side it's on.
Well, and one piece of this entire puzzle that we haven't even talked about yet is Ronald was switched around in the lineup. I want to know what you guys feel about that, but we're going to put a pin on that for now. Coming up next, this NFL Players Association collusion situation that we've been talking about, it keeps growing. We're going to talk about that in the front page, and we've got my Allie Mac drop. We are going to crown a college football ball knower today, Bo, because Bo and Ave are both so knowledgeable, so I've got a little friendly competition for them next. It's coming up with the Morning Shift live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Where you at, Abe?
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame. You've got Bo here. Abe is on my left. He is in for Mike today. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is holding it down back at the studios. Now, the Home Run Derby is tonight. Matt Olson is looking to become the first Braves player to win it in franchise history. Of course, he's replacing Ronald Acuna Jr. 1-10. How disappointed were you by this, Bo?
Probably a 9. Mm-hmm. I was one of the things I was looking forward to in the All-Star game. It softened the blow that we do still get a Brave in, that Matt is taking over for him. But I was like, Abe, I was pretty excited. Now, and that's like I said Saturday, and obviously I don't know if not everybody was listening, but to reiterate it, to me, I want Ronald to have that moment. I think it would be awesome if he's batting leadoff at the All-Star game and he goes yickety, like at the first at-bat of the game against Tariq Skubal, who, look, the Braves have hit him before, so I know they can, but I think it would be really cool.
Yeah, I can't get up to a 9 in terms of disappointment, only because I'm not that surprised. We knew about the lower back tightness at the time. We're like, oh, I hope this doesn't cost him the Home Run Derby. But ultimately, when you think about it and you're like, man, this guy's not really in a position to take 100 torqued-up swings and for just for his own preservation, I'm not that surprised, which is why I'm not crazy disappointed. And Bo makes a great point. Like, it would have been brutal if they take out Acuna and they throw in, you know, Bryce Harper or someone, you know, whoever it may be. The fact that it is Matt Olson, the fact that a Brave is still represented, I think is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Braves last night drafted shortstop Tate Southesine with the 22nd overall pick. They also drafted Alex Lodice and Cody Miller, shortstops. I have a feeling about that.
Yeah, well, that's clearly a position of need at the moment. Do you need three of them? I don't know. It's not like all three of them are guaranteed to be on the roster at any point in their careers in the Major League roster. The first round pick, whose name I'm not going to butcher at this point in time yet.
Tate Southesine?
Yeah, Southesine. Apparently he's a hell of an athlete, Abe, and he's a guy that is a very has very good at bats. He's 18. Now, he hasn't faced even college pitching at this point, but I was reading about him that he's very athletic, and he could be a guy that maybe could play anywhere, including the outfield. So maybe you didn't draft three shortstops. It's not like it'll be the first time Braves have drafted a shortstop in the first round of a draft, and they've moved him. I don't know, Chipper Jones, Ozzie Albies was not in the first round, but he moved too. So
I've seen the term bat-to-ball used when describing Southesine.
Well, that's something the Braves don't see a lot of these days with some players.
So we'll see if that plays out. I mean, look, it's interesting because unless you're one of the top two or three picks in the MLB draft, or unless you follow, and I follow college baseball, but, I mean, you've got to really be on top of things here in terms of prospects. I don't know. Like, in 3 years, we'll see if this guy's charging up our rankings in double A and any of these guys. They drafted multiple shortstops. Again, like Bo said, they may stay there, they may not. But I it's tough to get overly excited unless it's like one of those top three, top five guys that you're like, this guy's on the track.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it plays out. But it's a tough spot to project at 22.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been talking about the collusion situation. This was a lot last week that was happening with the NFL and the NFL Players Association and the hot seat that Lloyd Howell has found himself in. And Mike Johnson was saying, you know, that guy is cooked. He is cooked. Now the NFLPA leaders are backing Lloyd Howell. But are you shocked by this? Or what do you think is happening here?
Well, the NFLPA is to me, I think it's dysfunctional. This is a group of people that had DeMarie Smith run it for how many years? And how terrible was every bargain agreement, I believe, that they signed. I mean, he did some things for the players. He got them less practice time, didn't help the game out, and really didn't help some of the players. But the members of the committee, they released a statement of the NFLPA to say we categorically reject false reports, insinuating doubts within this committee or suggestions that we've asked our executive director to step down. And they also say that that these attempts to mischaracterize the views or divide our membership. Look, this is a conflict of interest at one of the highest levels, I feel like. And I think when they get through the season, they'll probably make a change out of the, you know, at some point before free agency starts. But so I'm not surprised that they have delayed the execution. I will be surprised if at some point he doesn't get got in the next calendar year.
Yeah, I think it's easy to jump to a conclusion about the collusion, and that's kind of what they're saying not to do right now. And it's one of these weird situations where, like, you could make two independent decisions separate of each other that feel like it's a conflict of interest but might not be. But the optics of it alone almost make it unpractical to keep him around, like you said, longer than one more session.
Well, I don't believe that it's about the collusion. I believe that this conflict of interest
right.
arose with the hiding of the collusion and the delaying of a when this verdict came out, or whatever you want to call it, they paused the release of it and how they were going to handle it with the leak. And I believe that is a direct result of the conflict of interest. That's my thought. I mean, they say not, but there's you just can't be you can't do both. You got to get on one side or the other.
It feels insider trading-ish.
You can't be a Georgia fan and a Florida fan, all right, to use an SEC media day thing. You either one or the other.
Well, five-star tight end Caden Prothro committed to UGA over Florida and Texas. He was the number 19 overall prospect in the 2026 ESPN 300. Rusty Mansell has to be excited about this one.
Boy, I mean, Georgia has had a lot of monikers over the years. I think tight end U over the last number now certainly makes sense. And Prothro is just the last. It's just a continuation of really a run unlike anything I've ever seen in recruiting history from Kirby Smart. They also added four-star DB Tyreek Green on the same day. They've now got 23 guys. I think the number was 23 guys in that class that are four-star or higher, and led by both Prothro and five-star quarterback Jared Curtis. I mean, they are just absolutely rolling. It's not going to impact the team this year, but, you know, we'll get into Georgia and the prospects over the course of this week while we are here at the SEC Media Days. It just tells me that even if they don't get to the top and win the championship again this year, they've got talent coming, and they're going to be in the discussion for as long as Kirby Smart's there.
I've never doubted that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Just keep having.
Of course not. Yeah.
I think Kirby Smart has literally just – I'm not going to sit here and say he is Nick Saban. But I think he's taken the mantle away as far as recruiting-wise, or taking it over, and he's definitely a coach that has his team as prepared as anybody does in the nation week in and week out.
Well, moving on to the Dallas Mavericks, they are shutting down Cooper Flagg for the rest of Summer League after he scored 31 points in Saturday's game against the number 2 overall pick. Dylan Harper and the San Antonio Spurs are like, yeah, we've seen enough. We're good.
It's just a quick look at the difference in speed and a difference in the game. And he'll obviously have another jump when it's actual NBA players and not just kind of summer league guys. But, yeah, I think we've seen enough. He had a couple highlights offensively and defensively. There's nothing to be gained at this point for Cooper Flagg.
This is kind of like when players go to the Senior Bowl. And they do two practices and are like, they have a highlight or
the Mike Green.
The Mike Green is a great one. But he wasn't the only one. There are
multiple
guys.
Of course not.
But yeah, that's a really good example by you. And like, yeah, okay, I'm good. We're gonna go ahead. I mean, I didn't need to see Cooper Flagg play a summer league game. Okay? I didn't. I mean, I'm glad he did. That's cool. Great. Mavericks fans got somewhat excited that he did it against guys that'll be in the G League or worse moving forward, but
I mean, yeah. This guy was reportedly cooking the U.S. men's national team.
I know, that's what
Olympics.
I'm saying.
I don't think him going off for 30 against someone's summer league squad is, again, not needed. But it was still fun for me to watch.
Well, and Abe, you lit up a moment ago when I brought this up. The Hawks beat the Phoenix Suns yesterday. Asa Newell led with 18 points and 11 rebounds. Hawks had early control of this game, leading 30-17 after one quarter. Final score, 98-80.
Yeah, they also got a win on Friday night against the Heat. Asa Newell yesterday showcasing one of the things I think people slept on a little bit coming out of college, and that's his perimeter jumper. I was a little bit higher on him, very excited to have him on the squad, and everyone's like, he's going to play in the G League, he needs to develop, and he still may. But he hit more threes yesterday, and again, it is just a summer league game. He hit more threes yesterday in a summer league game than he did in any individual game in his entire one-year college career. And it's just a showcase that there might be a bigger role for him with the Atlanta Hawks than some people expected.
Yeah, the fact that his shooting,
yeah,
especially from the outside, is already at that point. Or I mean, not.
He was a 30%, 29.5% shooter at Georgia. Obviously, there's a difference in the distance, but I think that as a starting point, as a baseline, and then building from there is so much different than when, like, what John Collins had to start with, what Onyeka Okongwu had to start with.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy that can be a threat and will only continue to improve.
And unlike Cooper Flagg, he's a guy that you want to see playing summer league that needs to have that, just that adaptation to playing against, you know, guys that some of them can be at a pro level.
And you're also just stuck not really knowing what the role is for Asa Newell because of the team, because of the depth, and because of what he is. And
well,
the Cooper Flagg role is obvious.
Yeah, he's going to be the star. He's going to be along with Kyrie.
He's starting. Yeah, he's a
whatever starter. The unibrow is going to be this year.
Well, and we're going to get into who knows more about college football in a high-pressure situation, not in general, because this is a totally different situation. So let's get into the Mac drop. All right, Abe, do not look at my computer over here because I have categories listed.
That's why I moved.
I will turn. I will turn so I am not called Any names.
Okay. So what's going to happen here is I'm going to give you a category, and you're going to go back and forth and just keep naming them until you run out of them. We'll see who can keep going the longest, okay? Makes sense? Fair?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Bo, you're going to start this one. We are going to crown a football ball knower today, as we love that term so much. All right. So we're going to start with current college head coaches. Bo, you're starting.
Kirby Smart.
Just any conference? Just...
Yeah. We're going SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12.
Okay, Clark Lee. I'm throwing him off his game.
Steve Sarkisian.
Jeff Lebby.
Dabo, stop it, all right? Dabo Sweeney.
Hugh Freeze.
Billy Napier.
Kalen DeBoer.
That's a good one.
What?
No. Did you say Hugh Freeze already?
He's out.
What?
Yeah, I said him.
Oh, I didn't know.
He was asking if you said him.
I know.
Ryan Day.
Kurt Cignetti.
James Franklin.
I was just going to say James Franklin. Sharon Moore.
Greg Schiano.
I'm starting to run out. This is not good. Any conference? Mike Gundy.
Yeah, she said any conference. Mario Cristobal.
Prime.
You got to say his name, not his nickname.
Deion Sanders.
Mike Gundy.
I just said that.
He said Mike Gundy?
He did.
How many of these are we going to go through?
I'm not paying attention.
I'm trying to get him out of here.
Sharon Moore.
I just said that. All right, he's got to be out.
Yeah, Bo, you're out.
Bo's out.
Give me a dub.
We are running out of time. Let's do a fun one. Let's go with college mascots. Same conferences. Abe, you get to start this one.
Tigers. Do I have to name the school or just like
mascots? Seeing the mascots?
The mascots, like the names.
Oh.
Tigers.
The Gators.
Wildcats.
Seminoles.
Wolverines.
Hurricanes.
Yeah, this one's going to take forever. Neither of us are going to stumble for a while in this one. Yellow Jackets.
Buckeyes.
Scarlet Knights.
Bruins.
Spartans.
Have you said Huskies?
No.
Which conference?
Well, I was going with Washington.
Not Connecticut?
I don't think it matters.
Florida Bulls? Do we need a bigger conference? NC State, the Wolfpack.
Tar Heels?
Hokies?
The Commodores?
The Orange.
Blue Devils.
You guys say two more, one apiece, and we're going to call it at that. It'll be a draw.
Ducks.
Cougars?
Buffaloes. You just wanted to say Cougars.
Longhorns.
Aggies.
Sooners.
We're just going to keep doing it. How much time do
we have? Clearly, you guys are still going. Yeah, no, I think we're at a draw here. You guys are both wonderful.
What if I just like the other Tigers?
I love how Allie gave y'all a ring.
Could I have technically said the Bayou Bengals, since that's kind of the nickname for LSU?
I told y'all one more, and it fired you up.
I would have known what you meant.
I love how Allie gave y'all clear instructions, and y'all are still going.
Boilermakers.
They're still going.
I don't know if I've said Wolverines.
Dylan, you're going to have to cut their mics.
I said Wolverines.
I'm not listening to you, Spartans.
I said Spartan, dude. How are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
It's a draw, or we could continue this later on. Either way, we got to go, because coming up, we'll get a preview of the four presenting teams today. That is next with the Morning Shift live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
The Odyssey app.